If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network for this Wednesday, March the 12th, 2025. Thanks for listening to AFR, and I will introduce our panel here. As I said, you can decide later on if they're distinguished or not based on their performance today. Ed Vitagliano, good morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning. I'm just happy to be on a panel.
Well, that's a good start.
Doesn't that be distinguished or not?
No, a good attitude's a good start.
Ed. That's right.
Wesley Wildman, good morning, Wesley.
Good morning. You said performance. I feel like I need to be, I don't know, singing or dancing.
We have expectations here. Dancing? Singing?
You can.
No, not that kind of performance.
You want to sing, you go ahead.
Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Good to be here.
All right, so much to talk about on the program today. Jenna Ellis will be joining us at the bottom of the hour, and we will ask her, how is it that President Trump and his administration can close down the Federal Department of Education? Because that's what he is seeking to do. And I stand and applaud, as I know you guys do too. We don't need no stinking
department. We don't need no stinking Department of Education.
That's what I was hoping would happen. I said that. We don't need a department. We don't need a federal Department of Education. We don't. It's a completely unnecessary level of bureaucracy. I'm sure there are some fine people that work there, but
on both sides.
But I think President on both sides. I think President Trump is right. Pardon me. We just we need to take the money that we would otherwise spend on the Department of Education and send it directly to the states and let them spend it as they see fit and do away with this D.C. bureaucracy.
Now, how can that, for both, literally for both camps.
How can be against that?
Now, it's one thing, I could hear, first of all, if they just canceled it or dismantled it altogether and then spent the money elsewhere, I'd be okay with that too. But for those, it would say, yeah, but what about, you know, state education? Well, if they just give it to the states and let them, I don't know. It's got to be an 80% approval
well,
on this.
Well, I think who would be opposed to the people, the bureaucracy.
Sure, but it's just not enough people.
They want education run from Washington, D.C.,
yes,
so they can control it.
But that's just a small enough amount that I don't think that's going to make a difference.
We'll do a deeper dive into that with Jenna Ellis at the bottom of the hour. Gentlemen, I have some breaking news that'll break your heart.
Hmm. You ain't got rid of the head cold?
Well, that's a different story. I trudge on. Can you trudge?
You can. Oh, yeah.
I'm trudging on.
I trudge.
I got a shot.
I've been trudging for years.
By the way, Ed, you're still suffering with a little bit of the after effects of that walking. See,
walking pneumonia.
You get old people talking about their health, and we're totally diverted from what I was.
And my knee has been bothering me.
There
so.
You see what I'm saying? The weather's coming, and
yep.
Back will be going out on you. Anyway, good to have you back.
Yes.
I know you were sick the whole week last week.
That's right. Doing much better.
Well, you had walking pneumonia, right?
Yes, walking pneumonia. Hmm.
What's as opposed to what?
Sitting here.
We're just regular pneumonia. I think they call it atypical pneumonia.
Which would you rather have if you had to choose them?
Walking pneumonia.
Walking.
With regular pneumonia, you're in much greater
hospital.
Danger. You can. But I had fever and chills and terrible cough.
But that's completely over, right?
Yes. With the exception of the fever, I may be a little bit contagious, but
That's like a little bit pregnant.
I haven't had fever since last Thursday.
A little bit contagious, sitting 2 feet from me.
I'd like to advocate for Maxwell Smart's cone of silence. Yeah, we don't code of disease control.
Yes, we don't need any more information. I shouldn't have asked you that. I violated your HIPAA law.
I feel.
Did I violate his HIPAA law?
My hip feels violated right now. Thanks a lot.
Okay, now back to my breaking news.
Yes, I want to hear this.
Which will break your heart if you have one.
We better weep.
That's Hollywood celebrity Rosie O'Donnell. Rosie O'Donnell has moved to Ireland because she's escaping Trump's America.
Yeah.
And she wants to remain safe. You see what I mean?
How, yes. Oh, listen. This is devastated.
You're devastated. Wesley, yeah. Look at Wesley's face.
That's the look of devastation.
Fred's hurt.
I'm trying to perform, okay, and be devastated.
Yes.
Do we have Rosie O'Donnell's comments at all? I know Steve may bring them in next hour.
I think maybe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
We have a clip.
He's got it. Okay.
She has comments.
I just think. As we need to hear her departing words.
Yes.
Because she is.
We need to take this to heart.
She's a fellow American.
Yes.
And leading the way.
She's leading the way for other Hollywood celebrities who vowed to leave should Trump be elected president. And I think she's the first to officially go. And here's her remarks from Ireland.
Well, hey, everybody. It's me, Rosie O'Donnell, star of the Flintstones. It's Tuesday all day, as my Nana would say. And I'm here in Ireland, and it's beautiful and warm, not physically. It's actually quite cold. Yeah. Moved here on January 15th, and it's been pretty wonderful, I have to say. In the process of getting my Irish citizenship, as I have Irish grandparents, and I was... never someone who thought I would move to another country. That's what I decided would be the best for myself and my 12-year-old child.
Okay. If the one thing you have to brag about is that you were the star of the Flintstones movie,
that's what I thought too.
You should just leave say that nothing out. At all.
No, we're right.
I actually feel badly for her, okay? I've seen pictures of her, like we all do. She's getting old.
Right.
In terms of entertainment, she's irrelevant. In terms of entertainment, has done more than I have. But the point is, this woman is sad. This is a sad soul who has taken the election of another political party to heart to such an extent that she left the country in fear.
Yeah.
And it's pathetic, and I'm not saying it in an insulting way.
Well,
these are people whose only joy in life is this earth, and it ain't going the way she wants, and so she's in Ireland, and I don't think she's going to be there as long as she thinks she is.
Well, and it's worse than that when you think about other places around the world that are suffering in many places, like in Syria, Christians are suffering,
yes,
and being murdered and slaughtered. And then other parts of the world, people are suffering financially from socialism and medicine and hospital. I mean, there's so much more. There's so much worse going on around the world that people are genuinely suffering from. And she makes it out to be that America under Trump is anything like these other places.
She has TDS,
sure.
Severe case.
Yeah.
So I've instructed our staff here just to lower the flag.
Half-mast,
and to remember Rosie.
Rosie.
As she,
Rosie O'Donnell.
As she
has gone to Ireland.
She finds, hopefully she can find two or three different pubs. You know what I'm saying? Because one pub would get old. All right,
some of these small, your point is...
Hamlets over in Ireland?
Little hamlets, little villages.
Yeah, she'll be back.
And it's quaint for a while.
Yeah.
But if you've got to drive an hour and a half to the nearest Irish version of Costco.
Dodging leprechauns
yes.
in the street. I mean, that gets old.
Yeah.
Tell me that doesn't get old. And there's no pot of gold.
There's no pot of gold. I've tried finding it.
That's not true. That's a myth. All right. So anyway, having a little fun there. We just hope.
I hope she does lead others. Yeah,
hope she has a great life there in Ireland. Rosie O'Donnell, ladies and gentlemen, star of the Flintstones.
She reminds us.
She wanted.
That kind of took me off. I was willing to listen to what she was about to say, but then that was a distraction.
Yeah, I know. I think it was
stars of the Flintstones.
Star of the Flintstones.
Not just I appeared in the Flintstones.
All right, Fred, what do you have for us leading the news? I just wanted to get the Rosie O'Donnell story out of the way because
it's huge.
It's huge, and as I, that one, be careful, Ed.
All right. It's only been a couple of weeks since we saw the verbal brawl in the Oval Office.
Which one, Rosie O'Donnell and Donald Trump?
No. This was Donald Trump and the president of Ukraine.
Oh, yeah, that Donnybrook.
Yes. And it looked like, the wheels had fallen off any relationship between Ukraine and U.S. Well, yesterday, and I think we talked about this, there was a meeting in Saudi Arabia. Our Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, was there, along with representatives of Ukraine. After that Oval Office brawl, there was an announcement from Trump that he was cutting off military aid and also helping Ukraine gather intelligence. Well, coming out of the meeting yesterday in Saudi Arabia, two big announcements that the military aid will resume, intelligence, U.S. intelligence aid would resume, but also they agreed on a ceasefire. Ukraine has agreed on a ceasefire. Of course, it is all still dependent on Russia going along with this. We have a little bit from our Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, who was at that meeting. Cut number three.
Today, we made an offer that the Ukrainians have accepted, which is to enter into a ceasefire and into immediate negotiations to end this conflict in a way that's enduring and sustainable and accounts for their interests, their security, their ability to prosper as a nation. We'll take this offer now to the Russians, and we hope that they'll say yes, to peace. The ball is now in their court.
And Dan Hoffman, who's a former CIA station chief, he says, really, this is Russia's last chance in this. Cut number four.
Right. Russia could have stopped the war at any time. Remember, they were the aggressor. They invaded Ukraine, and their objective was to topple the government in Kyiv and install their own regime. So I think the president is right in saying, look, this is your chance, Russia, last best chance, or else we will increase our support to Ukraine. The president was pretty clear about that. And I think it's going to have to be support on the battlefield with more weapons and even more intelligence sharing. That would drive home the point to Putin that there's no point in continuing the war. But we'll have to see how Putin responds.
Who are we listening to right there?
That was Dan Hoffman. He is a former CIA station chief. Fox uses him quite a bit. And to the Russia point, we understand that a representative of the Trump administration will be meeting in the same room with Putin in the next perhaps 48 hours.
Secretary of State?
No,
Marco Rubio?
No, a representative. One of his Trump's negotiators that he's been using.
Steve Jordahl texted me and said that Marco Rubio is actually, I'm not making a joke here, is actually in Ireland where Rosie O'Donnell is. Yeah. I think
trying
that's
to
on
get
something,
her back? Trying on, to get her to negotiate
I think it's
back?
On something completely different. Okay. You guys remember, this is before your time, Wesley, remember Super Balls growing up, those hard rubber balls? You could throw it off a couple of walls, and it would just bounce wickedly, just everywhere. That's what this situation reminds me of. This has been back and forth so many times. It's been jarring. First, Zelensky's, in the White House, and he and President Trump, the Donnybrook. Then he goes over to Europe. They have all those leaders meeting. Then Zelensky does want to maybe have – and now we're at a place – where if Russia pushes things, I have no doubt that Trump will start rearming Ukraine.
Yeah.
And with the mood that we saw in Europe, who knows what they'll put up or shut up kind of thing in terms of money and troops. This now is in Russia. The ball is now in Russia's court. And I hope they come to a deal.
Where are y'all getting the idea that Trump's going to rearm Ukraine?
I that's That's
yeah. That. He had, in the wake of that White House disaster meeting, Trump said we're going to stop sending military aid to Ukraine, and we're going to stop helping them with intelligence gathering. As a result of what happened in Saudi Arabia in the last 48 hours, he says he's resuming that aid. Now, what that means, we don't know.
Okay. maybe Wesley knows the answer to this question. I don't know. Wesley, you're about as hardcore MAGA guys are in this room right here.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we're liberals compared to you.
Huh? You notice I didn't apologize or try to.
No, I know you don't. I know you don't. So, my question unto thee is:
you got 10 minutes to answer.
Well, you follow the Make America Great movement. Listen, I'm not.
You just asked a question.
I'm asking a question. The people, because of the conservative movement is larger than the MAGA movement, even though the MAGA movement is a significant political movement within the conservative side of politics. They overlap for the most part. Here's my question. I thought the MAGA position is no more money for Ukraine, period. We don't care if Russia takes over. Sorry to hear that, but that ain't our fight. Is that not the MAGA position?
Yes.
By most of the people within the movement? Or then what is... Now, MAGA can be whatever Trump says it is.
That was going to be my...
Because he's the king of MAGA.
I was going to say that.
So the followers will come along with whatever he says usually.
Yeah, and that would distinguish between a MAGA and a conservative.
Yeah, okay, so what's... Anyway, I'm surprised that Trump is saying anything relative to,
well,
we're going to give you more aid.
There's one other point in this story. It's the rare minerals. It's the rare minerals.
Oh, the
which,
deal?
Which Trump wants to get his hands on. And apparently, it is possible Zelensky is going to return to Washington. They're going to have a big signing ceremony as part of the ceasefire agreement, but also to sign a deal on these rare metals.
Yeah, I think, and first of all, you're right, Tim, that MAGA is whatever Trump says it is, because MAGA exists because of Donald Trump. I think that Trump is playing the consummate deal maker. He said no intelligence, no money to Ukraine in order to try to get them to the table.
Right.
And the assumption was that Putin doesn't want Russians in the meat grinder anymore either. But Putin is a sly fox. And so he's trying to play his cards. And so Trump, if Putin says, we're not ready to deal yet, then I think what Donald Trump's going to do is he's going to come back and say, well, fine, here's the kind of the art of the deal thing. Then we are going to continue to give money and intelligence until you come to the table.
But in all of that, the MAGA would also not be okay with that unless we also got, in that situation, unless we got something from Ukraine.
Yes, because it's make America, it's put America first.
Which is different than the first round, but when Biden was in office and MAGA was saying we don't want to be a part of,
right,
we want to pull out altogether, we don't want to give her money. Well, if we're going to, in that situation, we're at least getting something out of Ukraine, which is the minerals and metal. So you're still getting something out of it.
And that would fit with the put America first.
It would be. And I would also argue that in doing that, I still believe that Trump does. If that all played out, I still believe that Trump's motive would be to do that in order to end the war. That's his goal, whereas I don't believe that the previous administration had any goal of ending it.
Well, we'll see what happens, because it's all, to me, it's all on the Vladimir Putin now, too.
It is now.
It is.
It is now, yep. Uh-huh.
He can either keep it going, or he can say, here are my conditions to end it,
with
the war with Ukraine.
Yeah.
And so, some of this, from the Ukrainian point of view, is they want... This is why they've pushed for inclusion in NATO. They want some protection in case Putin does this again. And from Putin's perspective, he doesn't want NATO on their doorstep, because you could put troops in Ukraine, and from his point of view, you could launch an offensive if you wanted to invade. So a lot of this is going to come down to how the West guarantees Ukraine's safety and how Russia guarantees its having a buffer zone between itself and NATO.
Yeah, but in order to end the war, don't you think that Ukraine is going to have to give up a third of their country?
Yeah, whatever the percentage is, they're going to have to they're going to have to say goodbye to Crimea forever and what's called the Donbas region, which is that in the east. And I'm not sure where a lot of the minerals are. The minerals
center part.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see what happens there. But the big step there now is the response from Putin after he meets with the U.S. delegation. And Trump said he, you know, called him on the phone, probably. Uh-huh. Trump himself, I'm talking about.
No doubt.
Called him on the phone. Anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, the whole world. By the way, did you see where Putin is getting soldiers shipped in from North Korea?
That's been ongoing, though. Yeah. That was 6 months ago they started.
But and this is not funny because people die. Okay, right. I don't mean to make light of
war.
Death.
Yeah,
especially like in this war. But the reports on the ground were that these North Korean soldiers, by the way, who have no choice in life,
right.
You're talking about
dictatorship.
You're talking about destined for despair.
Mm-hmm.
They have food and shelter only because they're in the military.
That's right.
That's right.
In North Korea. Okay. And they don't really have any real training in warfare, ground-to-ground warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Ground-to-ground, is that what I'm, the words I'm, anyway. Okay, so they got, Putin got, what's the guy's name over there, Kim Jong-un?
Yeah.
To send him soldiers. Like they're toy soldiers.
Yeah.
You know, just send me 5,000, 10,000. So North Korea, an ally of Russia, sends these soldiers over there. They put them up there on the front line. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they're doing. They're in a completely, totally unfamiliar part of the world. And they've never been in live war combat.
Probably very little training.
The training is basically high-stepping in front of...
Yeah.
So what they were saying, they were just fodder for the
Ukrainians.
Ukrainians. They were running around like ants with no really purpose or mission. They just, the Ukrainian guy said, basically, I feel sorry for them because we just slaughtered them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they're sending any more over there, but I thought that's interesting that Putin is recruiting soldiers from North Korea. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Probably to use them to soak up some of the damage that let the Ukrainians
like
use
fodder.
Their missiles. Yeah, fodder. And, you know, for North Korea, for their military, they're probably thinking this will give our troops experience in case we ever go to war with South Korea.
What is
the wrong kind of experience.
What is North Korea getting out of that? I mean, in all seriousness.
I don't know.
What was it? I'm just wondering, is there a deal that's been made that is public knowledge?
They get some oil or energy from natural gas or something from
North Korea. And you never know in the minds of a dictator like in North Korea. He does treat these people like toy soldiers. Yeah, right. We'll show what we're made of. We are not just this little landlocked, but this small country here. We're projecting power. And you're going to see what North Korean soldiers can do. So
plus Russia could have paid them.
That's what I'm saying. I haven't read any.
Russia could have paid them. They're basically mercenaries. You know, for Russia could have paid them in oil or gas or.
But it is sad because like you said, these soldiers. They're not fighting for their homeland. They're not fighting for any lofty principles.
They're sitting over there to die.
They don't want to get a bullet in the head.
Yeah. Back home.
So they back home.
Yeah. All right. We will be back with more of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network after decades of many people in this country wanting a smaller federal government. That dream is finally coming true with the work of Elon Musk. and also of President Donald Trump. And we'll talk about the Department of Education after this timeout.
As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry. By rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day, they are putting a serious dent into the abortion holocaust. But there are still thousands of babies who are slain daily, and Preborn's goal is to rescue them all. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all of these precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire Preborn network for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God. Please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred here this morning. Ed, you want to tell folks how they can listen to us on a podcast or listen to us on an app or something, things of that nature?
Sure, things of that nature.
Yes.
Well, first of all, for the app, you just simply go to your app store and download the AFR app, and you can listen to American Family Radio live or the podcasts anywhere you have a good signal.
Good internet connection.
And in terms of the podcast, if you go to AFR.net, you'll see at the top a panel of drop-down menus. Just click on podcast, and the available podcast will pop up. And then you can click on the show that you'd like to catch up on. And there are all sorts of options in terms of how far back you can go for different programs. And our podcasts, Tim, as you've mentioned, have been a kind of a game changer. A lot of people appreciate listening on demand. Sometimes they're at work when their favorite show comes on. They can listen to it on the way home or later on in the day. And AFR has a great selection of those podcasts for you to listen to.
All right. Well, President Trump has announced that he wants to close down the Federal Department of Education in Washington, D.C., and you can drive by their building up there. I forgot if it's on Constitution or Independence. I think it's Independence. But anyway, they got a big old building up there in Washington, D.C., and they do stuff at the I assume they do stuff when they come into work.
Hey, indoctrination is hard work.
It's hard work. Well, President Trump has said we don't need any Department of Education anymore. I want to close it down. Well, can he really do that? Can a president unilaterally decide to close down a federal agency like the Department of Education? And Jenna Ellis has the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. And Jenna joins us now. She's host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time. And she's the host of On Demand Podcast, speaking of podcast, at AFR.net. And she's a constitutional lawyer. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning, Tim. And I think the Department of Education building is on Unconstitutional Avenue in D.C.
Oh, I see, yeah, that's good. I see what you're doing there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they do have a big old building, don't they?
That's their correct address. Yeah, they do, unfortunately. And it's about to be very hollowed out because, according to the New York Times, this morning, last night, the Trump administration fired more than 1,000 workers at the Department of Education. So basically, he's gutting it completely. And the Department of Ed Secretary Linda McMahon has said that it's her mission to completely dismantle the department as she is the secretary. But the constitutional question, of course, is whether Trump can unilaterally just completely dismantle it, or whether this would take another act of Congress, because the Congress is the one that created the department. Now, my position, and I think the position of any originalist or constitutionalist when looking at the Constitution, education is not a subject matter that is given to Congress to legislate on or to the federal government at all. You can look at Article 1, Section 8. Those are the subject matter that are specifically provided to Congress. They can't just say, well, we think we know what's best for America and legislate on anything they want. That's the limited powers of the federal government under the understanding of federalism, that we give specific limited powers to the federal government, specific limited powers to the states, and then according to the 9th and 10th Amendment, all powers not reserved to the federal or state government are reserved to who? We the people. We actually have powers of government. So education as a subject matter is not at all anything that Congress can spend money on, but of course they went ahead and did that anyway. So I think that if Trump really wants to do this, he should attack the Department of Ed from that threshold question to say that the origination of the Department of Ed was unconstitutional at its inception, but then get the current Congress, and hopefully with a better conservative majority after the midterms next year, to simply reverse the act. And that would be the easiest way to completely get rid of the Department of Ed.
I got a question. This is Wesley here. Jenna, thanks for being on with us. So for, let's just take a 30,000 foot view here for just a second. If he does what he says he's going to do, well, he's already laid off, what, 1,300 employees? Is that right?
Yeah,
right.
Out of like 4,100 or whatever it is.
So he's already in progress of dismantling the Department of Education. What about this for the other side when they say, well, then it's obvious that he's opposed to education? What's the response to that?
Well, that's of course just a leftist talking point, and I would direct listeners to my interview with Florida's education secretary, and you know he lays this out really well, saying as a state education secretary, this actually means that we get to make decisions without federal dollars attached, and this is actually better for education. And I just had Corey DeAngelis, who is one of the best advocates for school choice, on yesterday on my morning program, and he's talking about a bill that's coming up before the Texas legislature wanting school vouchers, and how the teachers unions and then of course the leftists in the federal government don't want school choice, period. They don't want dollars to actually follow students and families so that parents can make the best decisions for themselves, for their kids, for their families. They want dollars to follow wherever the federal government designates they should, which we shouldn't even call it public schools. We should call it government-funded institutions, because that's what they really are. They're indoctrination camps. And so if the federal government or the federal agency, the Department of Ed, is disbanded, this actually means more freedom and choice for individual families, but also for the states who can spend money on education to not have to abide by federal government indoctrination policies, you know, DEI hiring practices, which is a huge push of the Trump admin. All of that goes away. And so for red states in particular, this would be monumental in a very good way. But even for blue states, it's really good for families across America.
Yeah, I think the move, even in some blue states, is toward more school choice.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And in charter schools, and letting people go to Christian schools if they want to without penalizing them. I think that is where the momentum is in this country. The teachers' unions have had their heyday, and I just don't think they hold as much sway as they used to. And also the move away from Washington, D.C. and centralized government. That's a big part of the MAGA agenda. So I think the time is now to move, and I think President Trump is I don't even think he needed Elon Musk to do any front work for him on this one, did he? He just said, we need to close it down. Didn't he say that?
No. Yeah, I mean, this was a promise from his first term, and he didn't really obviously achieve that fully. I mean, I think that he made a little bit of headway, but not ultimately that much. And so this is a carryover promise from his first term. And so I don't think it's a matter of seeing where the money is being spent recklessly or frivolously. It's a matter of just shutting it down completely. And to your point, Tim, you know, one of the few silver linings during the whole COVID narrative was that so many more families were forced to at least try homeschooling. And according to some research, homeschooling by choice has increased around 400% across the country because, shocker, when parents actually see that it's easy with the resources that are available today, especially online, but then when they actually get to spend more time with their kids, they like it and they like being disciples and discipling their kids and actually raising them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And it's a very good thing that has come out. And I think what we're seeing with this momentum is really a direct consequence of COVID when the left shut down schools for so long that parents looked for other options.
That's right.
Well, and they also, when they did start back, they were online and they saw what there was being taught.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was another.
Red, you had a question?
Yeah, I did. I mean, Jenna, I was listening to your program on the way into work this morning. I've been listening this week. It's very good. You have great guests on. You do a great job.
Thank you.
One of the concerns I have, and I was listening this morning on the your Maha guest talking about Make America Healthy Again. But one of the concerns I have. Now, I'm all in favor of what President Trump is doing, the Department of Education, all of that. It's, my problem is that the American people for so long have accepted this extra constitutional authority that the federal government has grabbed. So I was listening, I think it was this morning's guest, in terms of all the regulations on poultry products and food products. Was that this morning, I think? I think it was.
Yes. Yeah, well, Raw Egg Nationalist, who's kind of an anon, but you know he's very well-versed in this issue.
We've all accepted the fact that the government can tell us what to do. I remember I know a person who is a dairy farmer here in Northeast Mississippi, and he said, you would not believe the number of hoops we have to jump through just to produce milk, the amount of sunlight the cows have to have when they're being milked, and they come in and they're heavily regulated. But the American people have accepted this. How hard is it going to be to dismantle federal oversight over every area of our lives if the people do not understand that this is unconstitutional power?
Yeah, that's such a great question and a great perspective. And speaking of education, it really comes down to Americans who say, you know, they're very sincere, passionate patriots to, you know, yes, have passion for America, but understand what our highest law of the land requires of the federal government, which is to be limited in its power. The rise of the administrative state and the bloated bureaucracy is so far past anything our founders not just didn't intend, but ultimately didn't grant. They just simply do not have the authority. I mean, if you look at executive agencies, and even if you look at congressional legislation and all of these federal laws, I mean, it's probably somewhere around 99.9% of what they're doing is actually not power granted to them. And this was Hamilton's argument this is why he's my favorite founder, by the way, in Federalist 84, where he talks about we don't even need a Bill of Rights. Now, obviously, I'm happy we have one because that's protected our God-given rights throughout the last 250 years. But his point remains that we did not give over our rights in exchange for government protection. So then the government tells us which rights we actually have that they grant to us. Like some of the other world leaders in other societies, they said, we are the people retain all of our rights that are God-given. They're pre-political. with our consent and with our will, we give and grant specific limited powers to the government to operate for the sole express purpose of protecting those rights. And so why are we telling Congress that it can't limit freedom of the press when we've given it no power to do that? And we need to get back as American patriots. We need to get back to the understanding that government is supposed to be very limited, understand the concepts of federalism. This is why 10 years ago, I wrote my book called The Legal Basis for a Moral Constitution, because I go in depth into all of this and explain to the everyday conservative, this is why we have to get back to limited government and understand that. I think what Trump is doing is great, but we need to understand at the outset, before we even talk about policy, the difference between what the Constitution actually allows and what the government has been doing for the last 100 years.
All right, Jenna Ellis joining us. Jenna is host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning. That's her own radio program right here on AFR. So if you want to hear that, it's weekday mornings from 7:05 to 8:00 Central Time. And then, Jenna, your podcast is drops how many times a week? Once or twice?
Once a week, every Friday. And speaking of all of this, my guest this week is Congressman Chip Roy. He's going to be talking about the bloated budget, the continuing resolution, codifying Trump's wins. And so that's going to drop this Friday, and it'll be a great episode with a true conservative champion.
Okay, so folks, if you want to listen to Jenna's podcast and sign up for that, go to AFR.net and click on podcast.
And there will be two separate podcasts, though. There'll be one for
her daily show.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning, her daily show, and then her on-demand podcast.
Which is a deeper dive into the issues.
Yes.
So her on-demand, Jenna Ellis on-demand, sign up for that because you want to listen to Jenna's coverage of the news in a more lengthy format on that podcast. Also, Jenna, you wrote a column explaining the Department of Education, and we put that on our Today's Issues Facebook page.
Yes. So this is in American Family News, and I also do a weekly opinion piece in American Family News, so you can find that every Friday as well. This one is titled, Can Trump Dismantle the Department of Education? He certainly wants to.
All right. Thank you, Jenna. Have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys. Always appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye. That's Jenna Ellis, who's part of our team here at American Family Radio. All right, what's your next story, Fred?
Well, just want to add a few details to the subject of what's going on with the Department of Education. Yesterday, the department sent an email to all of its employees in Washington and in regional offices telling them not to show up for work today. All the buildings are shut down. They said the only reason given was closures was unspecified security reasons. But it's connected to the layoffs. And by the way, the department also announced it's terminating leases on buildings in cities, including New York, Boston, Chicago, and Cleveland. He's serious about this.
Absolutely. And Randy Weingartner, the president of the American Federation for Teachers, she's losing her mind over this.
Yes.
Bless her heart.
Yeah.
Hey, along these lines, I'm going to read a story that Alice and I were talking about last night. My wife and I, she was reading it to me, and I don't have any more information on this one than I'm about to read, but I'm going to read it straight from the Fox News website, okay? But it's related to what we're talking about and what Trump is doing with and Elon Musk in finding waste, fraud, and abuse, and also as much as he can, that is President Trump and his administration, shutting down these left-wing outfits that pose as our government.
Yeah.
But they're really left-wing activist organizations and outfits, I say. So I'm just going to read this as it appears on the headline is, EPA terminates Biden administration's green grants worth $20 billion, Zeldin says.
Yeah.
Have you already talked about this, or do you?
No, I was reading
that. Is that in your stack of stuff?
Just,
okay. All right. Listen to this. The Environmental Protection Agency, everybody's heard of that one, haven't
right.
you? That's a three-letter agency we've all heard of, is terminating $20 billion in grants awarded by the Biden administration for climate and clean energy products. Administrator Lee Zeldin announced Tuesday. Now, Lee Zeldin is over the EPA on behalf of President Trump and the Trump administration. So you got me?
Right.
So the good guy is there.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm going to point out. And this is what he's discovered. In a video post to X, Zeldin said $20 billion in U.S. tax dollars were, quote, listen to this now, parked at an outside financial institution in a deliberate effort to limit government oversight, doling out your money through just eight pass through politically connected, unqualified, and in some cases, brand new NGOs. NGOs, that means non-government organization, right?
Correct. Non-governmental.
Okay. The money, Zeldin says, has since been frozen, noting that the Department of Justice and FBI are investigating. Okay, so what you got going on here, according to Lee Zeldin, I'll just paraphrase it. I encourage everybody to go read this article. It's at Fox News. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of stuff that is just so infuriating, and we knew it was all going on. What Biden did, listen, they gave $20 billion. And that, according to him, it all goes to these green activist outfits.
Yes.
Okay? That's what it's designed.
To other countries? Or
it's no, it's a slush fund for all the environmental wackos, as Rush Limbaugh would call them. They're all far lefties in carbon emissions, in coal, and fossil fuels. These are the same, all these groups. Well, Biden wanted to give them $20 billion through the APA. Tell me if I'm not correct about what I just read. So, but the most concerning part about this to me is that, by the way, conservative groups, they have to find their own money through private donations, right, or foundations or individual gifts. These left-wingers, they get their money from the federal government. And that happens over and over and over and over again. And this
to spend as they see fit.
Huh?
Yes.
To spend as they see fit.
And this is part of what they're so mad about Elon Musk uncovering all this stuff, because he's pointing a lot of this out. What Zee Zeldin is saying, the reason the Department of Justice now and the FBI are getting involved, and he's asking them to, is because he says this money was being laundered, basically. In other words, it was, he called it, quote, parked at an outside financial institution.
Yeah, probably gaining interest.
In a deliberate effort to limit government oversight. This is like Hillary Clinton did with her emails. You remember that when she was Secretary of State? She said, I put my server in my house because I didn't want government oversight,
right,
yeah,
of what I was doing. That's basically what this is, $20 billion he's discovered, that was to go to all these green organizations.
Some of which popped up out of nowhere in the waning months of the Biden administration.
Yes.
In other words, to take advantage
of
this money.
This is so corrupt.
Yeah.
It's like, no wonder Biden pardoned his whole family from birth to death. But listen to listen to this, and then I'll be quiet about this. But is my voice rising?
It's rising, and it should rise.
Should it rise?
Because seriously,
I'm trying to keep a
this is
all things considered voice,
corrupt,
you know, from NPR here. But I just can't do it when I start reading these things, and my blood pressure elevates. But listen, here are the groups, Wesley, to answer your question. Here are the names of the groups that were supposed to get this $20 billion of our federal tax dollars through the APA that they were trying to hide from the public. The eight nonprofits that were awarded, and I laugh at nonprofits, these groups, were awarded the money, included the, ready for this? First one was the Coalition for Green Capital. Well, where do you think they stand for? Second one was Climate United Fund. The third one was Power Forward Communities. The fourth one was Opportunity Finance Network. The next one was Inclusive, INCLUSIV, and the Justice Climate Fund. Oh, you know, yeah, these are pink-haired people with nose rings. I'm telling you, these organizations have partnered with various groups, including Rewiring America, Habitat for Humanity, and the Community Preservation Corporation. There are far lefties who believe in controlling America, shutting down America's.
And they don't want us knowing how much of that money they're actually spending. spending on their own mission, just like a BLM when we uncovered that they didn't even actually.
They bought mansions.
If you want to, I'm not against these organizations existing, although I think they are all environmental wackos. Go raise your own money.
Yes.
Go raise your own money. Don't try to take it from the federal tax dollars.
Look, here's now. I'm not talking about these specific groups because I don't know, and I don't want to get sued. However, what is the possibility of this kind of abuse where you have these outside groups outside the Biden administration saying, hey, give us some money. We will create an organization, and then we'll figure out some stuff to do with it.
Yes.
Meanwhile, we'll have a CEO or a director or whatever getting paid big bucks, and they're essentially looking for a few things to do so they can take government money.
Yes.
In this video, Zeldin cited reports Power Forward Communities, which is one of these other left-wing groups, a group linked to Democrat Stacey Abrams. Remember the government?
The governor of Georgia.
The governor. She ran for governor.
No, I know. She insists that she...
Her organization received $2 billion after reporting just $100 in total revenue for the year before.
Mm-hmm.
$2 billion.
So you want to wonder how these people get rich?
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of crony, I don't know if you call it cronyism, but it's corruption.
And now, is this this discovery from Elon Musk, Doge?
No, this isn't Elon Musk.
This is EPA.
This is Lee Zeldin. He's a former, Republican chair? Or he was a congressman?
He ran for a Republican in New York.
He was a New York congressman.
All these secretaries, like Secretary of the EPA right now, Lee Zeldin, they all probably have been given their marching orders to do this kind of thing.
And these people, a lot of these people Trump hired, they don't need any motivation.
Right.
No. They're true good guys.
Listen, I'm not saying anything specific here, but we wonder how members of Congress get wealthy.
Right, that kind of stuff right
there. Okay, so what happens? Do they give money to these shell organizations and then get money in return?
Yeah. I'll tell you what happens. Again, I'm not going to speak about a specific name of a group or a specific person, but I can just tell you how this happens. This $20 billion... that the EPA under Biden did trying to hide, according to Zeldin, hiding the money. They want to dole it out to all these far left groups. The far left groups then put their money in the bank account, and then they give their CEO $1 million.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
You see how this works?
Yes.
And they also, the workers of the NGO work for the Democratic Party in the next election.
Yes.
I tell you what.
It is corrupt as the day is long.
There's nothing been more important in the new Trump administration, and what Elon Musk is doing is finding out all this stuff that's going on and all this government corruption and waste. No wonder the left's hair's on fire.
Right.
We'll be back momentarily.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.